Well, thank you, Sister Clark. You get to thinking on it. It'll choke you up, all right. It's really how God could come to sin to a level to reach a sinner like me. Amen. Open your Bibles with me, please, to 1 Kings chapter 21. I'm very much aware that I have referred to this chapter, this story before, but I couldn't get away from it this week. And I'm going to go to it again in 1 Kings chapter 21. You never use the Bible up. You can go through a portion of Scripture and find more and more and more. It's a living supernatural book. No other book like it, of course. 1 Kings chapter 21. I want to read at least 14 verses. I want you to purposely pay attention. I hope you purposely bring your Bible to church. I hope that's not the only time you open it. But try to focus your mind on a story, because my message is going to be built pretty much around it. I said to the church on Wednesday night that everything I hear in the news, everything I see in life, I automatically just kind of strain it through the Bible. Amen. The Bible just corrects a lot of stuff. When I go to the Bible, and it has the answers. Amen. And in this story, we're going to make some application, some parallels in a little bit. Chapter 21 of 1 Kings. I want to talk to you, and I want you to get the title right as you can up there in the tape room. I want to talk to you on the ultimate injustice. And I hope to see that title on the tape or something. Sometimes I don't recognize what I preach when I read some of the titles they put on stuff. And so I'm just kind of joking with them a little, but not too much. I'm pretty serious about that. Amen. 1 Kings 21, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me. See, this was his inheritance from God. The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Got all poochy-lipped, kids. Verse 5. But Jezebel, his wife, came into him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast, set Naboth on high on the judgment seat among the people. And set two men, sons of Belial, idol worshipers, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. And they proclaimed a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, and he died. And they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. Now, probably like most of you this week, I was disturbed pretty much by the story that came out of Washington, D.C., and all that we've heard all week long. And so it brought this story to my mind, and I couldn't hardly do anything else but kind of go to this point this morning. As I saw the injustice this week, I thought about the injustice here in the text that I read. You know, we all have a sense of fairness. Kids sometimes say it ain't fair, remember? I remember when my son was just a young fella, he had a bad case of this injustice complex. I remember it very well. My wife can tell you, even as a little fella, I remember one time we left church and we were driving both our cars, and I left ahead of her, and he was riding with me, and he was sitting up on the armrest. He must have been 4 years old, three or four. He was sitting up on the armrest. I'd be illegal now, but the statute of limitations is out on it. But anyway, he was sitting up there, you know, no seatbelt on, I'm sure. But anyway, she came behind me in her car. And she was following pretty close. And I got home, and instead of pulling in the driveway first, I dodged over and let her pull in first because I figured I'd leave first in the morning. So I parked behind her. And Stephen pitched a fit. He thought we were racing and that I had surrendered first place unfairly to his mother. I had a time with him. He just wouldn't let it go. And that stayed with him as he grew up. I remember one time, one of the high school basketball games, he was in there playing basketball, I don't know, 10th, 11th grade, probably 11th grade at least. And he had an expression on his face. If you done him wrong, it was like holding up a big sign. You didn't have to have any words. You read the message off his face. If you treat him unfair, it just flashed out there. And the referee treated him unfair. He called a foul or something on him. And I watched that a time or two in the game. And so finally I said to him, I said, son, let me help you some. The next time he calls a foul on you, the next game, and it's unfair, just smile. Just smile. Don't say nothing. Just smile. You got to change that message off your face. So sure enough, and I was sitting right there close to the court when it happened, he got a foul called on him. And he smiled and looked at that referee from ear to ear, just smiled. And the referee called another foul on him. So after the game, I politely went to the referee and I said, did my son say something to get that second call? He said, no. I said, didn't he just smile at you? He said, yeah, but I knew what was behind the smile. Somebody asked me, gonna be any basketball in heaven? No, because they can't find any referees up there. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We all have a sense of fairness, or when we've been treated unfair. Now, when you consider this story of Naboth, he was a hardworking man. Say, how you know? Because his vineyard was well kept. Caught the king's eye. He was a family man. He had sons. They stoned his sons with him. He was a good man. He had a religious inheritance that he wouldn't compromise. The vineyard was given to him, and God forbidden him to pass it on when he said no to the king. He done nothing wrong in his refusal. He had the right to refuse the king. And we see the story of the old king who owns a lot of stuff, pouts because he don't have one hardworking man's vineyard. Right. Imbalanced. Then you have the evil Jezebel writing the letters. Letters are in the news here lately, and I want to tell you, schemes have been pulled with them before. Here you have Naboth now being set on the judgment seat, and false witness, idol worshipers, those in Jezebel's Baal religion come in lying, false witnesses. False witnesses show up. And it results in the blood of Naboth being shed and his sons, because the inheritance would have gone on to them. So that old evil King Ahab can go in and take what was not his. And what this dirty viper Jezebel has done would have been hard to watch on TV today, wouldn't it? Kind of hard to say, where is the fairness? I mean, if I was watching it, I'd had a hard time with that. We all do. Sometimes it don't matter who it is, whether we know them or not, we have a sense of fair play. And here was a terrible injustice that took place in the murder of Naboth and his family. Now, this story that I've just read to you out of the Bible parallels this week's events. Here we have a man's life basically ruined over a 36-year accusation on the memory that may be right or wrong of a woman. And I want the hypocrisy of it. All those so-called senators sitting there, I'd like to see what their yearbook looked like when they were 17. Amen. What a joke. Tricky letter sent. Manipulated by women. Maybe not so much Ms. Ford as the crooked, hard left lawyers. And Diane Feinstein, God have mercy on her for pulling such a dirty, dirty trick. The lady was a victim herself. You could tell that. I didn't get to see it all. I come in, I had to watch reruns on it. I didn't get into that night pretty much. But I saw enough of it. I saw that it was a left-wing conspiracy, and a terrible one at that. When those lawyers said, oh, we're doing it pro bono. You know what pro bono means? Most of the time it means faked. But what it's supposed to mean is we're going to do this free. But have you noticed they've already collected almost $1 million off their GoFundMe page? A lot of crookedness, folks. A lot of crookedness going on. And anytime anybody has a programmed memory, you better watch it. A recovered memory is a programmed memory. When a psychiatrist lays you on the couch and says, we're going to go back and find out what it was in your past that's troubled you all these years, you better watch out. They're going to give you something. Amen and amen. Amen. Recovered memory. She might have had a dream. How many of you men ever had your wife dream you done something you didn't do? I see one brave soul, two, three, and I'm going to raise my hand. Oh, yeah. Memories and dreams and all that kind of jazz. And 36 years ago, where were you at? What were you doing? What a bunch of junk. Awful junk. Awful junk. The real motive was killing babies. So afraid that they're not going to be able to wholesale kill the babies like they've been doing. You see the stats I put in the bulletin, 60 million in America, 1.5 billion in the world, and what kind of motive is behind this thing that it might slow down the genocide of the babies? That's what's behind it. I sat there and heard some of them guys, it is a good thing couldn't be closer. I did appreciate Lindsey Graham speaking up. He said what I wanted to say. In fact, I would have said that, but I might have added. I'd have been tempted to add a little more color to it. But I praise God he said what he said. He said this is the lowest moment since he'd been in politics. He was right. Lowest moment for America. Morally speaking, the hypocrisy of it, the ridiculous part of it. And then the porn lawyer went out in his dirty back alleys and pulled out a couple of women. Oh, by the way, did you hear he's going to run for president? Now I'm saying amen, let him run on that party that he represents so well. He'll definitely identify who they are. Help yourself in Radio Land. Yeah, he ought to run on that party ticket. Say, well, that's the new face of the party. Pretty ugly face. Pretty bad face, I would say. And I want to say this. Many of us patriotic Americans, we can't hardly stand it, but we see the foundations of our country being destroyed. The psalmist said in Psalms 11, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I want to tell you what the righteous can do. Number one, you can vote. Number one, you can speak up. You can contend for what is right. We wouldn't be in this mess if a lot of churches and preachers hadn't gone to sleep. No, we can wake up. That's what the righteous can do. That's what we ought to do. Amen. Wake up. And we ought to start right here in Florida. Yeah, we had. We got a socialistic candidate running to take over our state. And you say, well, it wouldn't really matter. Let me ask you, do you enjoy our radio station? It'll matter it to it. Do you believe we ought to have the freedom in Florida to have Christian schools? You get this guy in office, it's definitely going to affect the Christian school movement. It's going to hurt us bad. Maybe even shut some down. That's why you ought to wake up, speak up, and vote when you possibly can. And if you're not registered, you can't. You say, that's politics. Help yourself. I'm preaching against unrighteousness. I'm preaching against corruption in high places. And that's what this Bible contends for me to do, just like the prophets of old did, just like John the Baptist did, just like Jesus did. Amen. Amen. Oh, we ought to wake up, folks. How we ought to wake up. I want to say this, though. It was terrible injustice on Naboth. It was terrible injustice this week, and we're going to have to endure it for another week at least. And I don't know what kind of trickery or dirty tricks are going to be pulled in the next week. Because we've moved to a place that truth and morality and decency is gone. It's just a power struggle with a certain crowd. That's all it is. They say that Hillary's coming into our state. Newspaper Today says it, to help this socialist win the governorship. Say, you think she can help? Well, she can stink up the place. That's all I know. My opinion. Anyway, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. Now, I want to say this. It was a terrible injustice for Naboth. It was a terrible injustice this week. But I want to say to you, it was not the ultimate injustice. The ultimate injustice was when you look at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. When an innocent man was crucified, when he was lied on, when false witnesses were brought against him, that's the ultimate one. Here, the parallels with Naboth is interesting. If you'll take what happened with Naboth and the accusation by Ahab and Jezebel and all that crowd, if you compare it to what happened with Jesus, it's an interesting thing how they run kind of together. Both of them were framed. Naboth was framed by government leaders. Jesus was crucified, framed, lied on by the authorities of his day. Both comparisons, both had false witnesses brought against them. You think about it. Both were accused of blasphemy. Jezebel said, claim that he's blasphemed the God and the king. And what did the leadership say against Jesus? What did the Judaizers say against Jesus? What did they bring before Pilate? They said he's blasphemed. That's what the high priest accused him of, was blasphemy. See the parallel there? They were both killed outside the city. And I could go on. But our cry against injustice, our being offended by the unfairness, the injustice of the whole thing is just so awful. And our sense of injustice cries out, where's God? Where's God? Where was God when they stoned Naboth? Where was he? I'm going to tell you something. He showed up later. Did he show up later? Looking right here in chapter 21, it says in verse 17, "And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down and meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick the blood even thine. Well, Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. You know what? Elijah said, The day will come. The same place the blood of Naboth was shed, yours will be licked by the dogs. R.G. Lee said years ago when he preached on this, he made a wonderful statement about it. He said, It was a long time. The old poet said, God's wheels of judgment grind slow, but they grind fine. All the time that Ahab lived, and even though he had some successes after that for a while, old Dr. Lee said, I believe every time that he went to bed at night, he could hear a dog bark. It scared him. And the day did come, and in battle, trying to disguise himself, but he couldn't disguise and hide from God. And in the midst of the battle, a bowman pulled his bow and arrow at a venture, the Bible says. In other words, the battle's going on, and he arches an arrow over into the battlefield. And God guides the arrow to one chariot, to one man, to one crack in the armor of Ahab the king. And it pierces him, and the blood begins to come out, and he tells the driver, take me in. So he heads home, but he don't quite make it. He bleeds to death in the chariot. And when they take him out, the chariot's bloody. They take the chariot, and they wash it out. And guess where they wash it out? The very place that Naboth was stoned. The very place where they wash the blood out of the chariots, and the dogs come and lick up the blood. Like the prophet said, the same spot where Naboth's blood was shed, the dogs are going to lick yours. And it happened. It happened. Now God showed up. Just showed up a little later than we'd like for him to. But he showed up. I got news for this crowd, this kangaroo court crowd, this crowd that smeared and lied and assassinated the man's character this week. God didn't miss a bit of it. I had to work all day. I didn't get in. I had to see the reruns. God didn't have to see the reruns. He didn't miss a part. He didn't miss the motives in their heart. He didn't miss the lies that was told. He didn't miss the smear that went on. He knows all about it. He knows all about it. You know, Jesus was crucified on the cross, and we asked, where was God? God was there. God was there. Did God see the injustice? Yes, he did. Where was he? Well, I tell you what. He did show up in the resurrection and scared the fire out of them. But he's going to show up later. He showed up later for Naboth. But he didn't miss it. He showed up. I mean, he not only showed up and took care of Ahab, if you read the rest of the story, and I'd like to tell you this, I'd like to suggest this. If you were to go home and eat your lunch and get in an uncomfortable chair where you won't go to sleep, and take your Bible and read chapter 21. Read the next chapter. Read about 9 chapters over into 2 Kings and find out how God did show up. Find out the whole story. As Paul Harvey said, get the rest of the story. It'd be a great benefit to you if you do that. You see, God does show up. He lets man make choices, but he shows up. God shows up in the consequences of those choices. He always does, always does. You see, they crucified Christ. They mocked him. They spit on him. They whipped him with a cat of nine tails. They laid him on a cross and nailed his hands and feet, and then they pierced his side. They'd done some horrible things, unjust. It was the greatest ultimate injustice that's ever been committed. An innocent, sinless man dying on the cross at the hands of sinners. It was unjust, it was unjust all the way. But you know what? God's going to show up. When the high priest was condemning Jesus, condemning him under the charge of blasphemy, if I were to flip over to Matthew 26, you'd find where the high priest is accusing Jesus right there, and he's accusing him of blasphemy. And he says in verse 63, but Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, you're dead right, he said. Thou hast said. And nevertheless, I say, this is Jesus talking. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter, when God shows up, later, when God shows up, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. He's saying to that high priest, in time, you're going to know. In time, you're going to see me sitting on the power side of God, on the right hand of God. In time, you're going to see me coming on the clouds of glory. In time, you're going to answer for this. In time. You see, it's not over this week in Washington. It won't be over next week in Washington. But when Jesus comes back, it'll be over. It'll be over. Oh, yes. You see, with Jezebel and Ahab, their blood was shed in the same place where Naboth's was, according to the prophet's prediction, what God said. When Jesus returns in glory, where is he returning to? He's returning to Mount Zion. You know what Mount Zion is? Mount Zion is that mountain range where Jerusalem sits. It's the Mount of Olives. It's Calvary, where the cross was. That's Mount Zion. Do you know the Bible says that when Jesus comes back in judgment, in glory, that his feet is going to land on Mount Olivet, and there's going to be a great valley split, and what you're going to have at that time, you're going to have all the armies of a global government resisting God the Creator, coming back with the armies of heaven. And the Bible says, I can't, time's out, so I just have to touch on it. The Bible says when he lands on them there, when his judgment falls, that the blood, read Revelation 14, last verse, Revelation chapter 14, the blood is going to come up in that valley to the height of the horse's bridles. He's going to shed their blood on the same Mount Zion where his son's blood was shed on Calvary. Just like he shed Ahab's blood where Naboth's blood was shed, God is going to shed the blood of his enemies on the same location where his son's blood was shed. Oh, yeah, he will show up. Where's God? Right where he's always been. His timing is his timing, and he will show up. Now, I want to say to you very simply here, when he comes back, he's going to shed the blood of his enemies. That's right. Now, I ask you a personal question today. Whose side are you on? See, teams are being chosen right now. I'm asking this morning for some recruits for God's team. I'm asking for you to come and join the team of Jesus Christ by accepting him and being saved and having your name written in heaven. I'm asking you to get on his side so when he brings his army back from heaven, you'd be in it. I've been recruited a long time ago. I'm already a soldier in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will come back with him. I will be by his side as he takes back his creation from an evil crowd. And when their blood is shed, I'm going to be in that army of the Lord. There's going to be an army against him. The devil is also recruiting. Have you been recruited by the devil? I got good news for you. You can get out of his army. You can go AWOL on the devil. You can join the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can. You can make that choice today. Say, I never joined the army of the Lord. Then I'll tell you which army you're in. You're in the wrong one. You can change sides today. You can come for the one that loved you, shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for your sins, and will save you, eternally save you, write your name in heaven, and one day be victorious with him. My, we see evil in the world today building, getting bigger. We see our nation crumbling under it. It looks like a winner, but it's not. It's not going to win. It's not going to win. In time, the Lord is going to deal with it. He dealt with Ahab and Jezebel in time. He will deal with this world, the enemies of Christ, in time. Yes, he will. I'd encourage you today to change sides if you're on the wrong side. If you've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ that loved you and died for you, now's the time. You're in God's house. I've preached to you from God's book. I've taken a story that was a real live story with real live people and showed you how the world hadn't changed much. It's still putting evil on the throne. But the Lord is going to show up. He's going to change things. Which side will he find you on? Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, it's easy today to get discouraged, but we got to look deeper. We got to read further in the book. We got to see that you are showing up in your time. And Father, while it seems like evil of the worst kind seems to be growing worse and worse, Lord, we know you predicted that. We know it's even a sign of your coming. But Father, help us today to be sure we're right with you, that we know the Lord Jesus is Savior. One day we'll come back in his army on the right side. I pray you'd bless the invitation today. Father, somebody may need to join your church. They've been saved and they know it. Somebody may have been saved and need to come for baptism. I pray you speak to their heart, but I especially pray for that one that needs to get on the right side and come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and let him be their Savior. Bless the invitation now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'll step to the front. Will you meet me here? Will you come to the altar? But will you do what God's asked you to do? Maybe you need to change armies today. Will you come? Come as we sing.
Just as I am without